come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And may that happen soon. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
Wow, what a drive. I just got through preaching the long sermon up there. So you're going to get the short sermon. So I know you want to get into that food because I can smell it. Anyway, how many of you like to take a trip? John and Diane, I know, likes to take trips. Debbie Bibler likes to take trips. Let's take a trip. You're allowed to close your eyes. I want you to visualize this. Jesus has come in the clouds of glory. He's not just in his glory. He's got the glory of all of the angels of heaven. And he's also coming in his Father's glory. I want you to visualize that. All right. As you're visualizing that, the saints that are in the grave come forth from the grave. Don't fall asleep now. Because if you start snoring, we'll have one of the deacons come and tap you on the shoulder. All right, here we go. As the saints come out of the grave, they're coming up and they're going up to meet with the Lord. We, the righteous that are still living, we're going to meet them in the air and we're going to go meet with the Lord. Okay, from there, what's going to happen? Anybody know? We're going to get on this cloudy chariot. And on this cloudy chariot, is not going to be a cloudy chariot like you know. How many of you know about back in, Alexander's time when they had chariots? Men rode on them like that. It's not a chariot like that. This is a cloudy chariot that has living wheels. It has living wheels on it. And those living wheels are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we, the saints, are going to be on the chariot. And we're going to be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're going to start on this trip. We're going to go on a journey. And on this journey, we're going to travel to heaven. And on the way, we're going to pass Mars. We're going to pass Saturn, Neptune, Jupiter, big Jupiter. You know, Jupiter is the biggest planet that we know in this solar system anyway. And we're going to pass it up. And we're going to travel on farther. We're going to travel past Alpha Centauri. We're going to travel. Jesus came through the Orion's Belt. We're probably going to go right back through Orion's Belt. And on this journey, it's going to take 7 days. 7 days. So, think about this. I want you to think hard. If, that's the words if, because I'm not going to time set anything. If the Lord picks us up on a Sunday, and it takes 7 days to get there, what are we going to do on the way? When the Sabbath comes, we're going to stop somewhere because God's going to rest. Jesus is not going to travel us on the Sabbath. You get the picture? We're going to stop somewhere. And in my research, now this is what I believe, that possibly we will stop on one of the inhabited worlds that have not fallen. And we're going to worship with Jesus Christ and all of the angels of heaven and the beings from this unfallen world. And we're going to worship on the Sabbath day. Now, it may not be that way. It may be that Jesus may stop this cloudy chariot and we may worship with him and the holy angels right there. out in space somewhere. I don't know. Those of you who do know, please get up here and preach a sermon. Tell us about it. I've asked three pastors, and they said, do some research. Well, I haven't got into that part yet. So I have what I've heard over a long time period of time, that we are going to stop on one of the fallen worlds and worship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's what I believe. It may not be. So anyway, as we're traveling along, God is going to show us the wonders that the Hubble telescope can't even show us. That's too far away. Just think. How fast can you blink your eye, Barbara? How fast can you blink your eye? Pretty quickly? Okay, just think of this. You blink that eye and you can be from one planet to another. How about traveling that away instead of driving along? How many of you like to fly? How many of you don't like to fly? Well, guess what? You're going to fly. If you're going to heaven with me, you're going to fly. You get the picture? Now, I know Howard and Sandy have been on top of Pike's Peak. They went up by the Clobble train, is that correct? Shana and I have been on top of Pike's Peak, and the elevation there is 14,110 feet. And the air is thin up there. I can tell you, because, man, I got out of the vehicle, took about two steps, and whoo, the air is thin. So you're going to fly. You're going to travel, folks. You're going to fly. Understand this. You're not going to be in a plane. You're going to be in a cloudy chariot. A cloudy chariot. Not a flying saucer. Can you imagine trying God getting out here and putting this metal flying saucer together? This is what you're going to fly to heaven with? I don't think so. Not in my mind, anyway. Anyway, so as we're traveling along, we are going to enjoy all of the wonders that God has created. We're going to see things that our mind has never even touched upon. As we're traveling along, we're going to be with Jesus and all these holy angels. We're going to travel and travel and travel. How far is it to heaven? Anybody got an idea? You got a mileage chart? 1 billion miles? 10 billion miles? 100 billion miles? They say that the Hubble telescope can see as far as something like 10 billion light years away. Now, how many light years, how far is that in one light year? You're the mathematician. How fast does light travel? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 275,000 miles a second. And in a second, how far can that light travel in 1 year? The Hubble telescope can see some stars out there that are thousands of light years away. Is that going to be a journey? It's only going to take 7 days. But one day we're going to stop and rest. And when we get there, here comes the cloud. We're just coming in for a landing. Because the holy city's there. And we disembark off this cloudy chariot. And what is the first thing we see as we're coming up? The holy city. How can you miss it? How big is the holy city? 375 miles that way. 375 miles that way. 375 miles that way. It's a big, big city. Approximately the size of Colorado, but 375 miles high. Can you imagine how thin the air is going to be at the top? It'll be just as good up there as it is at the bottom. God will make it so. Now, you can't miss this as you're coming in. We get there. We get to the holy city. What is one of the first things you got to do? You can't enter the holy city. The gates are closed. You got to get something from Jesus Christ before you enter the city. First of all, he hands Virginia here a crown of glory. Will that get her in the city? Not yet. She can't get in there just with a crown. She's got to have a palm. And she gets a shining harp. Harp. And you know what? Virginia's going to be able to play that harp beautiful. The music will come very easily. I'm going to pick on her for a little bit. I like Virginia. She's a wonderful woman. Anyway, so each and every person has to get a crown, a palm. How many trees are going to be stripped of their leaves for all the saints to get a palm? I don't know. He may just produce them. But everybody gets a shining harp. Everyone. Even you. Even though you don't want to play a string instrument. Well, yeah, you do. You like to play the guitar. But a harp, you've never wanted to play a harp. But if you turn this on the side, it's about the same thing as a harp, isn't it? She likes to play the piano. So, you're going to get a shining harp that you can carry. Anyway, once you get these, what else do you have to have? You think that's going to get you into heaven? Get the gates open? What else you need? What else? What is on your crown? What is on your crown? What? I heard somebody over here.
Stars.
Yes. Some stars will be so brilliant. I mean, some crowns will be brilliant. Some have just one little star. But you know what? Everyone that gets that crown will be satisfied with what he's got and be glad. But what's on that crown? What else? Your new name. You won't be known as Virginia. You won't be known as Diane. You won't be known as George. You're going to get a new name. Amen to that, man. I've already changed my name once. I tried to protect the innocent. Anyway, after you get this, you're waiting outside. The pearly gates are closed. Jesus Christ himself reaches up and pushes the gates open. Once these gates are open, we come in. What do we see? The Garden of Eden and the Sea of Glass. And 144,000 saints that are alive here on this earth that go to heaven without seeing death. We'll meet in a square, walking on a sea of glass. It is hard for our minds to visualize this, but I want you to really, really open up your mind, reach down in your heart, and look deep for this, because all of the saints will get together outside the Garden of Eden. And while they're there together, a hush comes over the crowd. In the center of the square, there'll be a big, huge square. There'll be like a donut hole in the center. You pop the donut out, and that's where the hole is at. Who's there? Jesus Christ. And why is the crowd going hush? Adam comes forth. And they meet. Two Adams meet. And Jesus puts his crown upon Adam's head. Adam, in turn, takes the crown off. He throws it at Jesus' feet. He doesn't throw himself into his bosom. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus and weeps. And who's watching? Intently, close by. Adam's family. His sons, his daughters, maybe Eve. I don't know. There's no mention of Eve after the Garden of Eden, hardly. But if she's there, she will be there watching. And as this scene plays out, the Lord reaches down. He takes Adam by the hand. And they go for a walk. And they walk into the Garden of Eden. What is Adam visualizing and seeing? He's seeing the trees that he cared for, that he loved. He loved so intensely for all these trees that were in the Garden of Eden. The flowers that were so beautiful, that smelled so sweet when he walked in the garden 6,000 years ago. Adam is still reeling from this whole scene. He's kind of at an awe. But then he looks over and he sees what? He sees the vines that his own hands trained. And he's still in awe. And as they walk, the two Adams together, as they walk over to the tree of, to the river of life. And the Lord gives Adam a drink from the river of life. And then he takes him by the hand again and takes him for another walk. And he walks a little bit farther. His whole family, the whole congregation is watching as Jesus reaches up from the tree of life, plucks a fruit, and hands it to Adam to take and eat. What are the leaves for in the tree of life? That's right. Healing of the nations. Why? Because here on this earth, we look at each other. You're German. You're English. You're Scottish. You're French. You're Italian. You're Russian. How many of those nations get along today? There's some healing needs to be done. You're red. You're black. You're white. You're yellow. Healing of the nations. It has to be. We have to heal before we can live. I hope that this message for each and every one of you can ring strong into your minds and in your hearts, that you will dig deep into your scripture, that you will find what you're looking for, what you need in your life to have that close walk with Jesus Christ. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to be there. I got a place reserved on that cloudy chariot. It's reserved for me. I want you there. You better be there. You better be there. You also. You better be there, because I don't expect not one of you to stay here and pay the ultimate price. I want you all to enjoy the greatness of glory. The only thing that we can look forward to. Is there anything glorious in staying here? I hope not, because there's not going to be. Those who don't go. No comment. I'll leave that there. But as we think about this, in this sermon that I've just given you, this is the short version. They got the long one this morning. And I hope you all would take this. Hand me that. This is a picture of Jesus' second coming. This is nothing compared to what it's going to be. It's nothing compared to what it's going to be. It's going to be much more magnificent than this. You see that? Look at it for a couple of seconds. Go ahead, you're allowed. You don't have to keep your eyes closed now. You can wake up. Stop that snoring. Look at that up there. Isn't that magnificent? Nothing compared to what it's going to look like when Jesus comes to take us home. I want to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. That's all you got to do, is put your mind to it and obey. And put your faith where your mouth is. Walk the walk, talk the talk. If you talk like you're a Seventh-day Adventist, then walk like a Seventh-day Adventist. You want to be one of God's children, you walk like Him, you talk like Him. I want to see you there, Jim. You're going to be there, aren't you? All right. How about you, David? You going with me? Yeah. Going to go for a ride? Yeah. You like to fly? Yeah. We're going to fly. It's going to be magnificent, folks. All this scenery that we're going to see on the way to heaven. It's going to take 6 days. It's one day we're going to rest, right? So the traveling time is going to be 6 days. But we're going to get there. There's the goal, is heaven. Getting there. I hope you all enjoyed this sermon. And I hope you all will take it to heart. That I want to see you all there. You too. And just think, you're not going to have this body that you got now. Now, you're going to get a good one. You're not, this is a corrupt body. You're going to get a shining new one. You're going to give a new one that God's going to give you that's going to be immortal. It's not going to die. It's going to live forever. Isn't that wonderful? How long is it going to take you to be in, how long are you going to be in heaven? Anybody got, other than the word forever, anybody got a time? One word. Got it. Infinity. Infinity is something that goes and never stops. Never. That's how long you're going to be in heaven. Never stop. We will always be with the Lord and enjoy being with the Lord. Shall we pray? Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with each and every one of these individuals here, your children. We ask you to reach out and touch their minds and bless them and touch their ears so that they may hear your word, that it may inspire them to get into your word and study deep for the treasures that you have for us. We ask you to bless this food that we're about to eat in the fellowship hall. We ask you to strengthen and nourish each and every one of us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.